Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
He'll hit a high fly left field back toward the wall. Dominguez turning around. Now he's on that top shelf, maybe. That is gone. That's a home run. That got over the red line, and a home run for Raffy. Red Sox take a 2-0 lead. His 15th home run.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
That was the last hit for Rafael Devers in Boston. Happened Sunday at, against the Yankees.
Yeah, I'll say this, Donnie. Mm-hmm. Of all that drama going on in Boston, allegedly, dude had 55 walks, 15 homers, and 58 RBI, so he was hitting.
Yeah, I mean, everything that, I've heard people say about Devers and what was going on in Boston, it doesn't feel like there's going to be a carryover. It felt like the owner of the Boston Red Sox just didn't want to pay this guy $250 million more dollars if he didn't want to be there. And, this is also, to my way of thinking, where Buster Posey may come in. And if Devers had a communication problem in Boston, that's supposed to be one of Buster Posey's strengths, just kind of how he addresses people, his maturity level, his straightforwardness, his composure. So I'm not anticipating Devers talking today at the press conference at 2:30 saying, let's see how it works out here. I got to believe he's going to be excited about the opportunity.
Yeah, I'm with you. And it starts tonight, or actually 2:30 as far as the presser. But all eyes are in baseball world on Third and King tonight.
888-957-9570 is the number. Giants Guardians tonight, first of three at Oracle Park. Let's go out to Raymond in Sassoon City. Hey, Raymond, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, boys? I just want to talk about this Jonathan Papelbon being on the radio.
Yeah.
I heard that whole thing yesterday, and it irks me because I'm a big Red Sox fan.
All right.
And I just don't appreciate when you hear, the old guys talking bad about, players. And Raffy did a lot for the Red Sox over time. And also, it sounded a lot like Jonathan Papelbon had hit, the happy hour a little early before he got on the radio. I don't know if you guys heard that, but he was definitely, a couple in. And he was upset. I mean, I would be upset, too, if I lost, one of the good bets that we had. But, I mean, I think the Red Sox are, they're kind of betting on their young prospects coming up, too. So, I mean, if you can pay, pennies on the dollar for these prospects and getting rid of that big old contract, I mean, I guess I'd be happy, too,
Yeah, and you know what? And listen, this happens all the time. I'm telling you, it happens all the time. Thanks for the call, Raymond.
I believe you.
We've seen it. We see it in every single city. Jordan Poole gets traded to the Washington Wizards, and he's out of town for 3 hours, and then you start hearing, well, he was cocky and nobody liked him and he didn't play the right way and he was driving everybody crazy.
I don't like that.
It's his former teammates, whether it's the TV announcers or the radio announcers, whether it's somebody in the front office leaking. I mean, this is completely par for the course, especially, and here's the other part of it. So if you're in the Red Sox organization and there's something going on with Devers and y'all kind of know it. The first thing that everybody does is they try to hide it, or they lie about it, or they downplay it. Hey, what's going on with Devers? You guys got problems in that clubhouse?
Yeah.
Nah, we're fine. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. We'll get it sorted out. He's a good guy. We'll figure it out. And then the minute he gets traded, well, he's a bad guy. He didn't want to figure it out. You know, doesn't say the right thing. Like, that is just so par for the course as far as I'm concerned, not just with the Red Sox, but like with every team that loses a player.
Yeah.
In with the fan base, with the organization, and sometimes even with former teammates.
Yeah, I'm not mad at you. I expect a standing ovation for him tonight. He's done nothing to one single Giant fan, and the bottom line is, you look at his tenure, and Stoney, maybe I'm wrong, or my intel is misleading, but up until this drama with the Bregman acquisition for the Red Sox and his position change or whatnot, or his position getting took, I mean, Devers was, you didn't hear nothing about him, like, you know, being a bad guy, but to not expect to stand and know.
Keith Law was on with the Morning Roast.
Yeah.
He works for The Athletic. Very, very knowledgeable baseball writer. Really good with prospects and knows the game inside and out. This is what he told the morning show about who gets credit for this trade.
You know, Posey, to me, I mean, people are online, they're saying Posey did this, Buster did this, Buster. There's a whole baseball operations department there. I don't think Buster Posey is making any of these decisions unilaterally, and I certainly hope not, because he has no baseball operations experience whatsoever prior to taking this job. Zach Manassian is the GM. He's a longtime baseball guy. He's super bright. He, I'm sure, was heavily involved in formulating this trade, as was the staff below him. This is not something that, nor do you want Buster Posey just sort of barging into the war room like the Kool-Aid guy and saying, hey guys, I just traded for Devers. I just traded four players for Devers and didn't consult anybody in the system. I certainly hope Buster's not running the organization that way. And I, based on the moves, I really don't think that he is.
All right. So he said,
my hater detector went off a little bit, Stoney.
How come?
I mean, does it even matter at this point? I mean, it happened on Buster's watch, and to go there, or Zach, and we all get it, but it's all under, you know, Posey's a part of the regime. Keith had a lot of energy as to, yeah, don't give Stoney all the credit. I didn't understand. Like, it still don't change the fact that the Giants got an altering move for what they can do and how far they can possibly go with this addition. So he seemed like he was taking it. Don't give Buster credit.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he was saying that. I kind of thought what he was saying is, and we've had him on before, Keith Law, and I think what he was really saying, and I could be wrong too, who knows, but that a trade like that, the GM maybe doesn't get involved until the process is close to the end.
Yeah.
And like, I don't necessarily think he was saying, well, don't give Posey credit. I think he might have been saying, you know, anytime a deal like this gets made, the whole organization is in on it. And no, I mean, we heard Zach Manassian talking about how, you know, he did a lot of the legwork early, and then Buster came in and did the heavy lifting to get it over the plate. Or to get it, you know, over the top, or whatever you want to say. But I mean, to me, that's kind of what a GM does, is he talks to all his baseball people and they bring stuff to him, and he's intrigued by certain ones and not others. And then they talk about it more. And if it ever gets to the serious point, they start thinking about going to ownership. I think team effort. Yeah, I think he's right, Keith Law. I just think that he, you know, wanted to emphasize that it's always a group of people that gets something done. I don't know.
Teamwork makes the dream work, Donnie.
Yeah, this is more Keith Law on Devers and where he fits in the lineup.
Well, he's DH, right? He's not, I mean, I understand Matt Chapman is out right now, but Devers hasn't played the field all year. He has never played first base in his life. I've seen this online. Well, the Giants need a first baseman. They they do need a first baseman, but they didn't get one. He has never played an inning at first base anywhere in his professional career. He needs to DH. He's not a very good third baseman. If he were to just play there a little bit till Chapman returns, it's not the end of the world, but he's not a solution anywhere in the field. He is a high on base guy with power. Ideally, that guy hits second in your lineup or he hits fourth. You want to get this guy as many at-bats as you can. You also want to make sure he's coming up with men on base. Those are probably the two ideal lineup spots for him. He's going to help them wherever he hits, though. At the end of the day, the spot in the lineup doesn't matter. Just let him DH and tell him, just go do exactly what you were doing. Get a 400 on base for the Red Sox. The Jets, probably the Giants' biggest deficiency right now, is literally just getting guys on base. He helps with that, and he's also probably going to be their best or second-best power threat for the rest of the season.
All right. He sounded pretty optimistic there about where Devers is going to fit in.
A 905 OPS, Donnie. So your boy's getting on base.
Yeah, no, that's I think they'll take that.
Yeah.
I think they'll take that.
I know I would.
That's right. You're out of town.
Yeah, this is our last show. Evan will be with you. Unfortunately, no Warrior title to prevent me from going to the family reunion.
Oh, but that's right. This was the Texas trip.
Yeah.
I hope the plane tickets didn't cost you too much because you waited to buy them till the Warriors
were all set.
Got eliminated.
Yeah. I'll miss Caitlin and I'll miss Evan will be in the ballpark tonight, the Devers debut. Like, man,
you always going to that game tonight, Evan?
Yeah.
You were?
Well, I'm saying this business, my bad. My bad, E.
No, one of my buddies, he actually knows people with the Guardians, so they got us tickets, but it just worked out.
Standing O, right?
Whoop. Yeah, one.
Oh, no, just that's the Bay Area version of welcome.
Any fan base would be giving him a standing ovation.
But this is a little different. It's like, thank God, finally we got a bopper. Otis Byrd III, Steinie, with the text of the day in the YouTube chat, he just talked about Adames and how inviting the fan base here is in the Bay. And he brought up Adames. Had he been in New York, your neck of the woods, Philly, or any other place, getting off to the slow start that he has here, they probably would have booed him. That's a hell of a point. And that didn't happen here.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Emma Grede, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grede, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Kudos to the Bay fans, Donnie.
Well, I mean, the other thing is,
kudos, because it would have happened in New York.
I don't know if the team's doing well. Fans tend to be a little bit more patient. But, I mean, the Giants have been playing well. And, you know, the other thing about Adames is, even though he's not hitting, he's clearly a guy that's well-liked in the clubhouse. He's not a phony. He's professional. He's still the first guy greeting everybody. Yeah. So I think that does, you know, that'll do him some favors.
And he's having some more success here lately.
Yeah, Keith Law was asked of The Athletic where the Giants now stack up in the NL West.
Yeah, I don't think they're that far behind the Dodgers. Dodgers, they're not healthy, right? The pitching staff is still kind of a mess. If you look, it's Yamamoto. I think Kershaw's, it's a nice story and everything. It's not going to, he's not going to remain an above average starter the rest of the season. I don't think there's a ton of separation here. I think there's more separation now between the Giants and everybody else in the division, right? The Padres kind of played above their heads for a little bit. They're cooling off. The Diamondbacks are just a mess with injuries at this point. I think they've had three Tommy Johns in the last 2 weeks. So I do think the Giants they have a real chance to end up passing the Dodgers. They are very much, I would say, a favorite to win at least one of the wild card spots at this point. I would also say I doubt they're done making acquisitions. Probably as they get closer to the trade deadline, they'll reassess and see what else they need to add.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how we saw it. We talked about it earlier.
What did I miss with that interview? Apparently,
No, see, I wasn't wrong. I guess Shasky was, dude, I don't want to speak for him, taking offense to law. It just, I don't know, Stoddy, it felt like a little cup of Gatorade a little bit. Like, oh, no, Buster. And then he insinuated Buster doesn't know his way around the house. Like, I didn't like it. I don't know.
I mean, he just.
Well, I want to hear it in its entirety after we get done now.
I mean, he seems to be pretty bullish on the Giants, saying they got a shot in the NL West. Yeah. Thinks they're better than the Padres.
I do, too.
Said Devers is going to fit in the lineup as a hitter. He's going to be fine. They must not have cut the stuff that. Let's keep going. Maybe we'll hear something. But first, hold on to your hats. By the way, coming up at 12:15, Jim Bowden, Major League Baseball analyst and insider at CBS Sports, also a former Major League Baseball GM for 16 years. He worked for the Cincinnati Reds. He was the executive of the year 1 year.
Yeah.
And he's going to join us in 15 minutes. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and the Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. Maybe we didn't cut the bad stuff. I don't know. He sounds pretty. Yeah. Of what we said, what we played here, he sounded pretty positive about the Giants. I'll play another one. This is on Bryce Eldridge and where he's at. Obviously, we talked a lot about Bryce Eldridge 3 weeks ago, less recently, and probably even less now that Devers is a Giant, but. What does all this mean for Bryce Eldridge, the Giants' top hitting prospect?
I expect them to trade him at all. I mean, I guess maybe if the Dodgers called and said, will you take Shohei Ohtani off our hands, they might maybe consider parting with Eldridge at that point. But I do not. I think they view him as the jewel in their crown. And I think they view him as their first baseman of the future. They have really resisted any suggestion of trying him in the outfield. He hasn't played the outfield since his debut season in 2023. He has not been great defensively at first, and I've seen him a bunch, and he hasn't been as good as I thought he'd be. He's a really good athlete. He moves well. He was a pitcher who had a decent delivery. He also never had breaking ball, coincidentally, but he was up to 95 off the mound when I saw him. So I'm a little surprised he hasn't been a better defender, and I think that may be the thing that slows him down from getting to the majors. He can really hit, though. It's good approach. Good swing impact for a guy who's 6'7". The swing is pretty short. Scouts I've talked to who've seen him a lot more than I have say they're not worried that he's going to strike out excessively like a lot of the really tall hitters do. I think he debuts this year. Like I was saying about all rookies, I wouldn't expect a ton of impact right away, but I do think he's going to be their first baseman for the next 6 years. And, you know, maybe at some point next year, he really becomes a major part of their lineup.
All right, that's Keith Law of The Athletic talking about Bryce Eldridge. Says he expects him to get some at-bats maybe this year, but next year sounds to be more like his year. And I think that's the way the Giants would like to play it, too.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, though, Stoney. He was in the diamond lane, the fast track to, you know, maybe getting a call-up now that he's in AAA. And all he represented to me, because I'm not hating on the kid, I was super-duper excited. But when I saw those swings and – all I thought about was, oh, man, they don't have that now. You know, the big club, and now you got it. You kind of wish Devers played first base, but I get it. It most likely he's not. So I want to see Eldridge, but now you could just take your time with the kid. But when you go get a bat that can do all, hit for power, spray, and do it all like Devers, Donnie, like I'm not thinking about Eldridge like I once was.
Yeah, this is from our guy Zucci on the chat.
Zucci.
I think he's on to something here. Okay. It sounds like Keith Law might have a closer relationship with Zach Manassian than Buster Posey, and he just wanted to set the narrative straight. It wasn't just Buster who got this done. I wouldn't doubt that. I wouldn't doubt that. The one thing I know about Keith Law is he gets out there and watches a ton of games. I'm sure he knows scouts. I'm sure he knows advanced scouts. I'm sure he's tight with assistant GMs, assistant presidents, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Anyway, what I heard, I didn't hear anything too.
I got you.
Too too harsh.
I think it's also fair to wonder, as someone who's worked in front offices for a long time, like Heath Law, if he's a little apprehensive to the idea of someone with, as he mentioned, literally zero experience in the front office stepping in and having this kind of success. Like, it, not to say that Posey can't, but it does feel like Heath Law is kind of wondering if that's even possible. Mm. Like, how has this happened so quickly for someone that has never been in a front office or even a coaching, like, at any single level? Evan, that's how it feels.
No, that's a great point. I want to throw this back at you. So you don't scoff at anybody that feels like, just hearing that, you could kind of, I can't even put my finger on what I heard, but I was like, but now hearing you say that, I think that might have been the crux of it.
I mean, he also might be wanting to give some credit to other people, yeah, because he's been in the backgrounds for deals too, but it just does, I don't know, there's a tinge of like hesitance or still some apprehension towards Posey, which I think is kind of fair, but also right now you can't knock him.
Right. But now he's, that's a great point, Scotty. I could get the other guy like, look at this dude. It ain't this easy.
I mean, my question would be, well, let's take a look at what's been going on in the Bay Area over the last 15 years. And Chris Cohan owned the Golden State Warriors, and he sold it to Joe Lacob. And the first thing Joe Lacob did was hire Jerry West to get some credibility into the front office. Then he hired Bob Myers, who had no experience as a president of basketball operations or a general manager. He was an agent, but he had no front office experience.
Yeah.
And four titles later, his resume is etched in stone. Look at John Lynch. John Lynch came out of the TV booth.
Yeah.
To run the San Francisco 49ers, but there was something about when he took over for Trent Baalke, there was a credibility gap that got filled, and it feels like we're seeing the same thing with Buster Posey. They bring a built-in credibility and a built-in respect that, for whatever reason, allows them to, feels like, go about their job differently than the people who preceded them. I mean, it just felt like Joe Lacob got to the Warriors and Myers got to the Warriors, and the next thing you know, they were in on players they'd never been in on before, and their players who were there started performing better, and the next thing you know, they got action. And same for the 49ers after Chip Kelly and Tom Sula.
Well,
I mean, but to your point, though, Steiny, there were other people involved, not just Myers and Lynch. Like, Shanahan was a big part of that front office, and he's had years of experience in the NFL. Someone like Jerry West has run and created great organizations prior to joining the Warriors. So, like, Law's just pointing out that, like, Posey's not doing it all by himself.
Mm.
You know, there are other people that have a hand in helping someone who's brought credibility to an organization.
Yeah. Let's go to David. David's in San Jose. Hey, David, how you doing, man?
Hey, What's up, fellas? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, yeah. Sir. Loud and clear.
All right. So with that first clip you played, I forgot his name, Tim Allen or whatever, the reporter.
Keith Law or Jonathan Papelbon?
No, not Papelbon, the short name guy.
Keith Law.
Keith Law. So, yeah, yeah. So you guys, I think you accidentally cut out the very first segment of that clip where he basically says he's tight with Zaidi.
Mm.
Oh. And so, yeah, so he basically comes on first, and he's like, yeah, you know, me and Farhan go way back, yada, yada, yada. And then, okay. You know what, to be honest, he doesn't give Buster his flowers, man. Come on, dude. Zaidi didn't sign anybody big. We got Adames. We got Chapman locked up now. And then he swings for the fences with the trade, giving up young talent. Well, Zaidi was waiting for this young talent that never developed. That's why you give the man his flowers. And Steiny hit the nail on the head, man, the credibility factor. When Zaidi's calling these other GMs, what are they talking about, restaurants and stuff? Buster's talking about ball. And so that's the credibility factor, man. None of this gets done without him. Obviously, it takes a team. If the team is that good, though, guess what? They'll get picked up for assistant GM or vice president ops at another spot. But this is Buster's doing. My two cents, fellas. Play that clip back. You'll hear it.
All right. Thanks, David. Appreciate the call. Well, we'll effort that. I mean, the one thing that's obvious to me at this point is before Buster Posey, the Giants had an MO for, what, a decade? And he's been here since, what, September 2024, I think he got hired. So he's been here coming up on a year, and they now have Matt Chapman in the fold long-term.
Right.
They have Willie Adames in the fold long-term, and now they have Rafael Devers in the fold long-term.
Spending money.
I mean, that's just different. That's different than this team's been in the last 10 years. And whether Buster Posey has a wealth of experience or whether he has no experience, like, that part you've got to acknowledge is just completely different. They got three players in here in the last year and a half, statured players that they hadn't been able to acquire before. And now they're sitting, and we can debate how good each of the three is, whether they're a star, whether they're a superstar. But the reality of the situation is, since Posey's gotten here, whether he's got experience or not, something's clicking and something's changed. And
it's working.
That's obviously why, you know, Giants fans right now are super optimistic, and they should be.
Yeah.
888-957-9570 is the number. Coming up, though, on the other side, we've got Jim Bowden, MLB analyst and insider for CBS Sports. He's a former general manager in Major League Baseball for 16 years. He's coming up on the other side for more perspective on this deal. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Traveling in 2025? Start your journey right at San Francisco International Airport. With the most nonstop flights from the Bay Area, easy parking, live performances, and tasty food, why settle for less? Fly from SFO, where your best journeys begin. Visit flysfo.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.